Good day, and welcome to the Barratt Trading Update call. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. David Thomas, CEO. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone, and thanks very much for dialing in. As usual, I have Jessica with me. Today, we're updating on trading for the period from the 1st of July to the 12th of November. I think, first of all, in overview, we see that market conditions remain good, and we've delivered a strong performance. We're seeing good consumer demand and also seeing a continuation in terms of good mortgage availability. Our sales rate has been strong and is in line with a strong comparative last year. Our forward sales position is very encouraging, and including joint ventures, forward sales total almost £2.9 billion, up over 8% compared to last year. Operationally, the business is performing well. Excuse me. And we continue to lead on construction excellence. We have maintained our five-star status for the eighth year in a row. And our site managers won more NHBC Pride in the Job awards than any other house builder for the 13th consecutive year. So let me just give you a little bit more detail. Our net private reservations per average week were marginally up on the year at 268. Net private reservations per active outlet per average week were in line with last year at 0.74. We launched 79 developments in the period, and we operated from an average of 373 sites over the period, compared to 370 average in the prior year. Moving on to the land market, we see that the market continues to be very attractive. As a result of this, we've approved 9,500 plots of operational land for purchase during the period. We expect to approve over 20,000 plots in the full year, and we expect to continue to target an owned land bank of around 3.5 years. So looking forward, we remain positive on outlook. The group has made a strong start to the year, and we are confident of delivering a good operational and financial performance for FY18. We remain focused on driving operational improvements through the business, as well as delivering modest growth in wholly owned completions. We are very proud of the quality of our homes and our high levels of customer service, both of which are key to our success, and we remain committed to these. The strong performance and cash generation of the business is reflected in our dividend payments. The total dividend payments for the year will be £421 million. We expect to return around £1.4 billion to shareholders over the 4 years to November 2018. Our business is performing well, and we are operating in a supportive market environment. Jessica and I will now be very happy to take questions.
If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you are using a speakerphone, please ensure your mute function is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We will take our first question from Andy Murphy from BOAML. Please go ahead.
Morning, David. Morning, Jessica. I've got three questions, if I may. Just on the private sales in the forward order book, I was just wondering, it looks like the average sales price is up 1%. Just wondering whether you could give us a steer on that as to whether that's mix or market-driven, and whether there's any change in the point at which you take a forward sales. Secondly, on the sales rate itself that relates to those at 0.74, I'm just wondering whether you could talk us through whether there's been any change over the periods. It looks like that the growth that you had in the second half of last year may have come out of the market. I'm just wondering whether 0.74 is kind of your natural level or whether there's anything you can perhaps help us out on that. And then finally, on the land purchase of the 20,000, it's quite a tick up, of course. Does that represent some catch up, or is that kind of a signal of intent?
Andy, hi, good morning.
Morning.
Subject to any coughing I may do, Jessica will just talk through in terms of the forward order position, and if I just kick off in terms of the sales rate and the land. So in terms of sales rate, I mean, we were at 0.74 back in September, and we're sort of still at 0.74, and we're bang in line with last year, which is where we were in September. So I think we've said previously that we don't really see that there will be a change in that rate of sale in terms of we're not seeking to increase that rate of sale. 0.74 we see as being a strong rate of sale. And I think we've seen a pretty consistent sales pattern if you look back over the last 12 months or so. In terms of land purchases, I mean, just in summary, I mean, in FY15, we approved about 24,500 plots. In FY16, we were at around 18,500. And this year, we're guiding for around 20. Year on year, we had a pause through July and August 16 post the referendum. So I don't think there's anything unusual. You know, we're saying 20,000 plots for the year. We've done 9,500 plots already, so we'd hope to come out the first half ahead of the curve, but still guiding for 20,000 plots. And we are seeing a lot of really good land opportunities. Really around the country. As you know, we're not bidding in central London, but apart from central London, we are seeing good opportunities around the country.
Good morning, Andy. Okay. Just taking us in terms of the private sales in the forward order book, when you look at the AST and the forward order book, changes are simply as a result of the mix within that order book. So that's what I'd say with regards to that. With regards to the point at which sales or reservations go into the forward order, but there is no change in how we're doing that. We've been very consistent for a long period of time.
Okay, thank you very much, and I hope you feel better soon, David.
That's all right, Andy. Thank you very much.
We will take our next question from Chris Millington from Numis. Please go ahead.
Morning.
Morning.
Just a few quick ones for me. I just wonder if you could just give us a little bit of a talk through the regional profile, but probably a bit more emphasis on the recent experience in London. Second one's just really about any expectations from the forthcoming budget. There's obviously been quite a lot of talk about a potential stamp duty cut for first-time buyers. And then just a little bit of a commentary around kind of the dynamics between build and build cost inflation and house price inflation, please.
Okay, Chris. Thanks. And I'll cover the first two in terms of the regional profile and the budget, the upcoming budget, and Jessica will talk through in terms of the build cost. So, I mean, on the regional profile, if you look at the main area of focus, I think, has tended to be the high-end London market. And we said pretty consistently, I think, through July, September, and today, that really we've not seen any change to that position. So no significant change on the high-end London market. Rates of sale have clearly slowed from where we were 18 months ago, 2 years ago. But I think we're pretty comfortable with it on the basis that we've got a relatively limited number of developments, and we're just continuing to explore private sale, potentially bulk sales, and matching that against our build profile. Outside of central London, we're seeing very, very positive trends. So whether it be in the balance of the London market or elsewhere across Scotland, England and Wales, we're seeing good trends. I mean, I think a particular highlight for us has been our trading area through, you know, Milton Keynes, Bedford, places that have got relatively strong local economies and are providing a reasonably fast commute into London as well. We've seen good house price growth and strong demand. So, but overall, when you compare back to where we were in September, I would say really it's a sort of unchanged position since September.
Understood.
In terms of the budget, I mean, we obviously read the papers, and there's been a lot of commentary in the papers up to now, and I'm sure over the next few days, about the contents of the budget. I think the reality for us is we're just looking for more of the same. We want to see that the government are thinking about Help to Buy up to 2021 and potentially beyond 2021. We would certainly expect the government to be giving views on that over the next few months, not necessarily next week, but certainly over the next few months.
Yeah.
Secondly, in terms of planning, you know, clearly this government and previous governments have been very focused on improving the planning process. We feel that there is a real momentum with regard to that, but potentially further measures around planning. And then finally, the land release programme. So the government land release programme, I think, is absolutely key for the government to achieve their numbers in the run-up to 2020. And therefore, just more news in terms of the land release programme is going to be, I think important for the market.
And just picking up on build costs, we continue to expect that build costs inflation this year will be 3-4%. That includes some inflation with regards to build materials, but we're not seeing any significant changes with regards to the labour market.
And Jessica, just very quickly on that, is the house price inflation backdrop broadly enough to offset that build cost inflation feeding through at the moment?
We're not seeing significant levels of house price inflation. We are seeing some levels of underlying inflation.
Got you. Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks, Chris.
Our next question is from Will Jones from Redburn. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Morning. Three, if I could, please, as well. The first was just around the land market and your land commentary. I noticed in the statement that you talked about securing land opportunities that exceed hurdle rates. And I think in previous updates you've talked about meeting and exceeding. So it seems like a slight change towards the fact that maybe all of your land buying is exceeding hurdles. Was that a deliberate change of language, or are you just reading too much into it? Because clearly 9,500 plots as well is a big number for that period of time. The second was just around any update you can give us perhaps on the initiatives talked about, the full year results, about the house type, site layout, all that kind of process change, and just if there's anything to add from a couple of months back, please. And then just the last one was just thinking around first half, second half splits this year. You did enter the year with a pretty strong order book position, particularly on private. Should we be thinking about that, a slight rebalancing of first half and second half again, please? Thanks.
Okay. Will, hi, good morning. I mean, I'll sort of cover those. I think on the land market, we have said that we're trying to exceed our hurdle rates. You know, we published hurdle rates over the last 6 or 7 years at 20% gross and 25% return on capital. Having said that, I don't think we're particularly signalling anything by simply saying exceeds rather than meets and exceeds. But we are really seeing good land opportunities out there. You know, that the planning policy framework, I think, encouraged a lot of participants in the land market. There's been a lot of land pushed through planning, and we're seeing the benefits of that now in terms of land coming back to the marketplace. Whether it be our own strategic land or whether it be land held by some of the land traders, there is a lot of land coming back at present. And, you know, that's got to be a good backdrop for us, and hence why we're confident of being able to achieve 20,000 plots in the year. In terms of the house types, and the margin improvement, I mean, no real change. I mean, some of the things that we have done are implemented, completed, and the benefits will just flow through. So, for example, our change to the five-year warranty, our change in terms of the sale and leaseback of show homes, so no more to do. The rollout of the new house types is ongoing, and as we flagged in September, you know, that is at a relatively early stage, and margin impact of that in terms of positive impact in FY18 will be muted, but we would clearly expect to see a more substantial impact going forward. In terms of the balance of the business, I mean, you know, it is a key focus for us to increase the participation of completions in the first half of the year. And, you know, if you look at the sort of, I suppose, the journey we've been on there, we were at 37% completions in the first half of the year, if you go back 5 or 6 years ago. And what we're gradually trying to do is to pull that completion profile back. So we don't plan to get to 50-50. We think that typically we would be more seasonally balanced into the second half of the year, but nonetheless, trying to get back to something like 45-55 is definitely where we would like to be. So we would expect to you know, see an ongoing rebalancing of that profile as we move through the next few years.
Great, thank you.
And our next question is from Gregor Gluckis from UBS. Please go ahead.
A couple of questions. One is just on Help to Buy. I just want to get your interpretation of the famous $10 billion. What do you think that actually means? I know it's not easy. I think it's a number. I want to understand whether you think that actually takes you beyond 2021 or it's just impossible to say. And then some of your peers, second question is, some of your peers have talked about material shortages, bricks, roof tiles, for instance. Is that something you're seeing as well, or is it, you don't think, a huge issue? Thank you.
Okay. Gregor, hi. Good morning. I mean, first of all, on Help to Buy, so $10 billion, I think, as you touched on, is clearly a big number. I think there's two main things in relation to the forecast. First of all, London and the way that the London participation on Help to Buy post the launch of the 40% Help to Buy product, that London participation has stepped up substantially, i.e. the number of completions on Help to Buy has stepped up, and clearly the average participation has doubled from 20% to 40%. So that is something that the government are having to factor in terms of their funding, which was never part of the original funding assumption. So that is a big part of the funding requirement. The second part of the funding requirement is simply the overall market volumes and the participation within the market. So the government had made assumptions regarding the way in which market volumes would increase. And I think those assumptions were probably reasonably accurate. But what we have seen is some increase in the level of participation if you look over the last 2 or 3 years. And I think that's primarily driven by it's a really fantastic consumer offer. The government have been doing a bit of marketing and the house builders have been doing a bit of marketing. And there is a lot of word of mouth, i.e. people that have used Help to Buy telling friends and family what a great product it is, all of which is driving higher funding requirements. Now, I think our calculations and some of the calculations I've seen from third parties would indicate that the $10 billion could take the scheme beyond 2021, but it won't take it significantly beyond 2021, and therefore the government will clearly need to address that at some point in the probably, you know, short to medium term, i.e. the next 6 months, I would assume the government need to address that. In terms of bricks, roof tiles, I think it's just really more of the same. You know, the when you look at the capacity for all of these materials, the general trend is one of increasing capacity. So there is more brick capacity, has come into the market over the last few years. There's more brick capacity to come into the market over the next 12 to 18 months. And similarly with roof tiles, the way I think it has mainly manifested itself in the market is through longer lead times. So that we've gone from lead times on bricks where at their shortest, they might have been down to 2 or 3 weeks lead time. And now at their longest, they're up to maybe 22, even 24 weeks. So I think that the challenges are about the sites and I suppose the organizations being just on top of what the requirements are over a longer period of time rather than simply a 2 or 3 week lead time.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Gregor.
We'll take our next question from Sam Thomas from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Hi, morning, guys. Just a couple from me, please. Just going back to the land market and land acquisition. I mean, just on the land market, I mean, I noticed the comments where you stated you're seeing attractive deferred payments coming through, and clearly you've said there's a lot of land still coming through onto the market. But have you actually seen any improvement in the sort of terms that are being offered in the land market over the period? That's the first one. And then secondly, is just on the land acquisition. I mean, you clearly had a strong start to the year on that. But it looks as though there's been a little bit of a drop in terms of the acquisition cost per plot. You know, you're still guiding for 20K plots for the full year, but I'm just wondering whether that means there's going to be any change to the 1 billion cash investment, which I think you'd previously guided to. Thanks.
Okay. Sam, hi, good morning. I mean, if I cover both of those, I mean, in terms of the deferred payment terms, so just briefly, I mean, deferred payment terms, if you went back 5 or 6 years ago, I think quite a lot of the house builders were not accessing or not requesting deferred payment terms. The way the market has evolved, particularly the regional land market over the last few years, is that it is becoming increasingly the norm for house builders to ask for deferred payment terms. So I would say in overall terms, it is easier to access deferred payment terms than it was 5 or 6 years ago. You know, indicative that there is quite a lot of land out there and the house builders are able to say that terms should be deferred. Our position has really not changed. I mean, if you look at what we've said over the last 4 or 5 years, you know, we've been saying 33%, 35%, you know, that's the kind of level that we want to run in terms of land creditors. So I think, you know, Jessica's position on it is much more about managing to those levels rather than simply taking all the deferred payment terms that are available. So if we wanted to run deferred payments at, say, 50% of the land intake, I think that would be quite possible, but we just want to keep that in balance. In terms of the acquisition costs, I think there's nothing really in that apart from mix. So probably a bit less in terms of London and the South East and a bit more elsewhere. But I think we would still hold that the overall guidance for the year that Jessica gave in September, you know, round about 1 billion of cash spend is still where we'd expect to be.
Great. Very clear. Thanks a lot.
We will take our next question from Aynsley Lammon from Canaccord. Please go ahead.
Hi, morning. Just one left for me, actually. I suspect that the answer is no change, but I just wonder if you could confirm over the last few weeks whether you've seen any significant change in your use of Help to Buy as a percentage of sales, and maybe a comment on kind of cancellation rates and just generally sales incentives. Thanks.
Yeah, I mean, good morning, first of all. I'd say, Ainsley, that no change is the right answer. I mean, just to give a little bit more colour on that. So, first of all, Help to Buy, I mean, definitely no discernible change over the period since September. Cancellation rates and down valuations is always something that we monitor, and I'm sure every house builder monitors that. The reality is that both of those things have really been very much on the back burner for quite a long time now, probably really in truth since 2011, 2012. There's been relatively little focus on those key performance indicators. But we are still monitoring them on a week-to-week basis, and there's been no change if you look at that position since September.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
As a reminder, please press star 1 to ask a question. We will take our next question from Kevin Kamak from Kencos. Please go ahead.
Morning. Now, David, I'll see your cough and raise you a really runny nose at this end of the phone. So,
yeah.
I'm probably just trying to look for things which aren't there in your numbers. You know, following comments by a couple of your competitors. But if you, I think at the year end, you reported a 14% increase in your forward position, which is obviously higher than a figure you're reporting today in percentage terms, not obviously in nominal terms. Is that in any sense any sort of reflection of some slowing that there may have been in recent weeks, apropos what one or two others have commented on, or am I just, you know, literally it's just irrelevant in the, you know, in the scheme of trading, because, you know, in effect, as you've said, all the other metrics are pretty much exactly where they were 3 months ago.
Okay, Kevin, I mean, if I start and then I'll pass over to Jessica in terms of the forward order book. But I mean, first of all, it's certainly not irrelevant, and it's worthwhile just talking through it. So when you look at the rate of sale, at September we were slightly below flat, so we were 0.74 compared to a prior year rate of sale of 0.75. So that was through the first 8 weeks. And then through the 19 weeks that we're reporting today, we're 0.74 against 0.74. So I think that's saying, look, 0.74 is a strong rate of sale for Barratt. It stands up to any historic numbers that we have. And we feel that that's a good trading position. The forward order book will depend, and Jessica will talk through, both on volume and value, but it will also depend on the number of completions that we've put through the P&L over the 19 weeks. So, Jessica, do you want to move?
Yeah, I think the two key pieces, really, Kevin, with regards to the forward order book. When you look at private forward sales, we've taken more completions in the first few months of this year than we did this time last year, which reflects our intention and progress in terms of taking a more balanced profile of completions across the year. And secondly, when you look at the specifics of the joint venture line, we've previously talked about the bulk sales we have done in terms of some of our joint venture sites. We had a very large bulk sale complete last week, which was in our forward order book at September, and is clearly no longer in the forward order book now.
Okay. That's very clear. Thanks for that.
No problem. Thanks, Kevin.
We will take our next question from Mark Hosen from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Good morning. It's a couple of questions from me. Firstly, just can you just talk about land, and to push a bit more on Will's earlier question, can you give us a feel for, you know, what the land plot cost is relative to selling price for the land that you've been buying? As you mentioned, it's higher than a 20% gross margin. It's something you've been alluding to for a while, as people have said, but can you give us a feel for that, if possible, is the first question.
Okay, yeah, no, fine. Mark, good morning. Jessica will answer that.
Yeah, with regards to that, Mark, the plot cost to ASP is around 18%, so consistent with the level we were running at last year.
Yeah. Secondly, can you give us a feel for the build delivery in the joint venture units this year? Central, I think some of the schemes, I think, should sort of be fully on song for June 18, and I'm in the process of selling out. Can you just give us a feel for where we are? And I appreciate that the JV guidance remains unchanged, etc. Can you just give us a feel for how many more sites you've got coming on or off, etc., in central London in this current year?
Yeah, hi again, Mark. I mean, in terms of as you say, the guidance we've given is the same as we gave in September. So I think we're on 750 completions and around £25 million of profit coming from joint ventures. In terms of sites on and off in central London, really, just thinking through them, no real change. So if you take, for example, Nine Elms and Aldgate, both of those sites are in joint venture. They both have the final towers to be constructed, and the final towers will not give any build completions in FY18. So the completions for those towers will be in FY19 and FY20. In Enderby Wharf, where we're on phase two at Greenwich, in joint venture with Morgan Stanley, that again will be delivering some completions during 18 and the balance during 19. So our joint venture position in London is a very limited number of sites, but we won't be completely finished on those sites, on some of them through until FY20.
Right. Just finally from me, on the large site Meridian Water, can you just say what happened there? As I appreciate you pulled out, and obviously different opportunities elsewhere. What happened on that site, and you know what you got, you know, sort of in out of London to kind of replace it?
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, we saw Meridian Water as a good opportunity. It's a redevelopment scheme in the London Borough of Enfield, around 10,000 plots. I think the first thing is that there would have been no delivery on Meridian Water until. Yeah. FY19, FY20. So it was a scheme that was somewhere in the future. We just weren't able to reach contractual terms that were satisfactory to either ourselves or to Enfield, and therefore we withdrew our position, which was obviously confirmed publicly. In terms of sites that we have to replace Enfield, well, really, we feel that we've got good opportunities that we've secured in Zone 3 to 6. So we're working on a site that, again, has been publicised that we're buying from Seagull at Hayes, which is an 1,100-unit scheme. So that is coming through. We're on site in Harrow, on a couple of sites in Harrow, which are both coming through in the next couple of financial years. And we're in Hounslow, again, preferred developer with planning in Hounslow for a large scheme in Hounslow Town Centre. So in sort of 3 to 6, we feel that we're well represented, and we'll be building schemes that are probably lower rise, less build risk. So we're very comfortable with that position.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
As a reminder, please press star 1 to ask a question. We will take our next question from Clyde Lewis from Peel Hunt. Please go ahead.
Morning, David. Morning, Jessica. And I suspect Chloe's there as well. Just a couple of, if I may, just one on sort of build and stock levels, I suppose, just if you can just update us to how things are going on that front, whether you think you're ahead of the curve or sort of, again, the bottlenecks in terms of skills is causing an issue for you at the moment. And the second one was really on visitor levels. I mean, you've obviously sort of said what the sales rate has been up to today, but could you just sort of update us as to, you know, whether you've seen any different patterns in terms of visitor levels over the last 4 to 6 weeks? Thank you.
Clyde, hi, good morning. I mean, in terms of visitor levels, I mean, clearly something that we monitor on a week-to-week basis. I mean, no change on visitor levels. I mean, I think we are seeing, on a year-on-year basis, we're seeing very similar levels of leads. So when you look at internet traffic, and traffic coming through to us direct to site or coming through on telephone inquiries, it's very, very consistent on a year-on-year basis. So something that's obviously important for us to monitor, but I think not either particularly positive or particularly negative. In terms of build, and stock. So our overall stock position, you know, we're running around 370 sites. We've got an overall stock position that is less than one unit per site. So we're running stock levels at about 330, something like that. I would say, as a generalisation, we don't have enough stock in most areas. Now, you could debate that we might have a bit too much stock in Zone 1, but, you know, I think that's understandable given the market backdrop, and we've addressed that through bulk sales and so on. In terms of the overall build programme, I mean, we are very focused on trying to flatten the completion delivery and flatten the build programme. So Stephen is, you know, driving through on a week-to-week basis about the equivalent units that we're building. We monitor that very, very carefully on a week-to-week basis. And I would say generally we're finding that we've got sufficient labour and sufficient materials to meet the build programme. But it's a key factor for us as to why we feel that there are challenges around increasing completion volumes. Because if we want to maintain the quality and the service associated with our brands, we've got to be very, very careful about the speed at which we grow the business. And therefore, we're guiding to this sort of modest growth, you know, 1% to 2%, which we think is deliverable, but there are unquestionably challenges on both labour and, as we touched on earlier, the lead times on materials.
Yeah. I mean, you frequently try sort of different sort of off-site construction methods or other different building techniques. Any that are looking particularly promising at the moment?
Well, I suppose the normal option is timber frame. And, I mean, our business in Scotland is entirely based on timber frame. And has been for some time, and most of the house building activity in Scotland is on timber frame. So I think timber frame is a very proven solution, and we are doing more timber frame in England. Clearly, Persimmon are doing a lot, and Taylor Wimpey are doing more. The other two formats that I think are most prevalent and we're most comfortable with are light gauge steel frame, where we're seeing an increasing number of units, but it's still small scale. So, I mean, if we were doing 150 units this year, I mean, that would be the maximum of it. The supply chain on light gauge steel frame is, you know, it's got to step up to allow the industry to deliver more capacity. And then the final area that we've been working with and some of the other house builders I've been working with has been a large format block. So we see the large format block solution as being very good. We're getting watertight in 7 to 10 days on a large format block. But again, the supply chain is limited and the blocks are being manufactured in Germany. So it's going to be some time before there is UK production on that large format block.
Okay. That's great. Thanks, David.
Not at all. Thank you very much, Clive.
As a reminder, please press star 1 to ask a question. There are no questions at the moment.
Okay. Thank you very much, everyone, for dialing in. Thanks for the questions, and we will be back again in January. Thank you.
That will conclude today's conference. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.